Well, next hour, Christopher Deshaze joins us as we talk about an extreme haunting. So get ready for that. And we're going to come back with Michael Dougherty. This is an unbelievably strange story, The Devil Inside the Beltway, next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Michael Dougherty, with us with this very bizarre story. So, Michael, where do we leave off here? What have they done to you?
Oh, we're in the heat of the battle, and we're just kind of hoping they'll go away. We're like, cooperate, please. And really, once they said, we want you to sign a consent decree, that was the first time after almost 2 years fighting the FTC behind the scenes, but being nice to their face, we said, no, I'm not signing. And let me tell you something about government bureaucrats. They don't know what that word is. They're so used to everyone being terrified and rolling over that, and then the threats came. We're going to sue you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I mean, the chest beating. And I just stood there like, go ahead. Because what I learned was they make all these threats and corporate lawyers and business people roll over. But when there's really your skin's in the game, you know, you want to get to justice. And guess what? They don't want to go see a judge either. But Congress holds the judges back. Congress has said that these agencies get to take you through their process first, and it's persecution through the process to get you to buckle and sign. So we went to court because they wanted me to sit for more interviews, and I fought them, and the judge chewed them out, but still ruled there was nothing he could do because the government can make you sit for anything. That was about 15 months of fighting, but I wanted to document every trick they'd play. I wanted the world to see exactly what they did. I don't want to tell you what they could do. That's just an argument. I wanted people to see the transcripts and show what they really do. And in the meantime, I'm writing the book. And the company is really treading water and getting, you know, we're in the fight for our life.
Sure. I mean, all your money's going to legal fees.
Bingo. And we're trying to survive. And that attention's being pulled away from what we should be doing, which is getting into the markets and growing and adding people and you know, and prepping for Obamacare. And all that's just not happening because, I mean, you're a small company. And so it's tough enough as it is without this going on. So anyway, they, you know, we had to sit for the CID. The book's almost done. That's a civil investigation demand. They hit us with civil investigation demands, which are federal subpoenas on steroids. And then they announced in the summer of 13 they're going to sue us. Well, my book's about done. And by August, in August of 13, they sue us in court for violating Section 5, having unfair data security practices when they've had no standards, no rules. But again, folks, it's always the advice from the lawyer of like, well, this is going to cost you millions, so you might as well roll over. But the outrage of what they were doing to a cancer detection center, what they were trying to do to the world of medicine, I couldn't live with myself. If I rolled to this, it was beyond, I mean, I had been branded because people aren't going to believe you. And so I fought back. Well, the book is supposed to, it comes out in the fall. They sue me the last week of August. Tyversa comes out and files a motion to have the book not released.
Oh, geez. And they're coming at you from all angles.
Oh, yeah. Now, isn't it interesting, the coordinated attack? What a coincidence. So I'm just watching this. And so the fall was actually one of the most challenging times of my life because my father was ill. You know, here's this Marine, retired Detroit police homicide detective, who I wanted to protect from all this information, quite frankly, because nothing makes a fighter crazy if he can't fight. I don't want him to watch this on the sideline. And so my vice president resigned. People were getting terrified. The inside lawyer left.
Company's collapsing. It's collapsing, isn't it?
Sorry?
Your company's collapsing.
It's collapsing. And we're on fire. And everything's falling apart the same. My dad goes into hospice. He passes away. Typically when you go to court right away, they call it a scheduling conference where the judge and a lawyer or two from each side meet. So we send one lawyer to scheduling conference. All this is going on. The FTC sends 20 people marching in the room. And they say they're very upset about the book. And don't think I didn't love that, because I know I mean, I'm thinking these guys are so strategically stupid. I would never tell my competitor, my opponent, I was upset about something. So I'm like, the biggest insult would be to ignore the fight, and they were furious. And so how did they demonstrate their fury? Of course, they don't know I want to show this whole thing to the world. They subpoena 40 people, doctors, vendors, current employees, employees that left 6, 7 years before. We have to go to California, Idaho, Texas, Ohio, D.C., Georgia, Florida. I mean, the taxpayer money is unbelievable. For what? And so then the company closes in January of 2014. Everyone loses their job. Now, we have about 700,000 patients in our database, and we work with a few hundred doctors, and they all have to find
Those are
other.
great, and those were great clients for you.
Oh, and we had great stuff. Don't you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Our software really expedited organization in the physician's office, making sure managed care contracts were honored, getting excellent interpretation by good physicians, and taking a lot of work and pure bureaucracy off the back of the practitioner, which, excuse me for a moment, but Obamacare put so much bureaucracy on the back of the doctor. They're paying less
Oh,
attention to patients.
sure.
And
And
so,
prices have zoomed, but that's another
Zoom.
show.
So it was insanity. And but then I will tell you, I guess it's just my temperament. I feed off the fight. I just know this. I still had not a minute of being sorry, because I knew if they had just shut us down based on reputation assassination, I'd been walking this earth as a man mad at myself for not fighting back.
At what point, Michael, do you find this Tversa insider?
So, spring of 14, I have written the book, and I'm about to start book tour. And I've just cleaned up the company after being closed in 9 weeks. Now, I'm also speaking to House Oversight. I have gotten to know and sent the book to Daryl Issa and the staff at House Oversight, because that's who I thought was misrepresented to and lied to in those hearings years before. And I want them to know that this stuff wasn't true. So I get a call, and some of this stuff I can't go too much into because of the Justice Department investigation right now, but I can tell you enough that basically I'm told that by this inside employee that A, what I have been told, what I believe is true, the book is right, and the representations and prior depositions from Bobick in the FTC case, where he says to the FTC on the record, and by the way, he didn't say this in 2008, he didn't say it till late 13, was that they found the file at other IP addresses around the world, and he gave them. And he said, that's a lie. They didn't give, those don't exist, we made them up. Because I already was talking in a professional manner to oversight, not running to them saying, help me, save me, I went right and I told them. And they started investigating. One of the things they found out that got them so enraged, because, you know, there's all sorts of tragedies, folks, in the country. It's a free country, and Congress can't solve every one of them. But what happened that turned this upside down was that when they investigated, they found out that when the Obama administration, when Obama first got inaugurated, about 4 weeks later, it was all over the news that the Marine One helicopter plans were found in an Iranian workstation. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was all over the news.
Vaguely, I vaguely
That turned
remember.
out to be a lie. What had happened is that was found, that those plans were found. They went, Tyversa went looking for them like they did, and they went into someone's computer like they do, and they took it out, and then they made something up. With me, they told the FTC it was all over the place. With Obama's helicopter, they told NBC and the Washington Post and everybody else that the plans for Marine One were in Iran. Why did they do that? Because they wanted people to think this was a much bigger problem than it was. Using Obama's Marine One plans would be a news story, and then they would be seen as the
The
savior.
heroes, yeah.
And this game goes on in one variation. The same thing with Supreme Court Justice Breyer. In that email from 2008, they say they found they went in and got that stuff. And so what is amazing to me, and what's hard for people to put their head around, and it should be hard for you to put your head around, is that the FTC is sitting in bed with such actors
But why?
because they're bureaucratic, bumbling incompetents, and they're zealots.
I mean, was the goal originally to shut you down?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. But when you start taking, when I, you know, little Mr. out of nowhere, Mr. small businessman out of Atlanta with 40 employees, I mean, it looks a little, looks kind of amusing, you know, and, but when I start taking them on and I'm successful and I write a book and I'm educating people and it turns out I'm right, I'm threatening them right at the Achilles heel of their power. Now suddenly we have all these things you would have never thought. 2014 was the year of the miracles, I'll tell you. I mean, I had basically an insider come out, government investigation, I testified in front of Congress, and then, you know, they wanted to give him criminal immunity. Well, to get criminal immunity, you have to have 2/3 of the vote. So I get this adventure of being on the, just in the middle of this congressional investigation, watching the politicians go at it. And the Democrats would not let a vote come. They wouldn't look at the evidence. They wouldn't meet with the insider. Jay Rockefeller's writing letters. The heavy FTC's playing her, you know, pulling strings with her political points, because they don't care about the crimes that go on. They just want to protect themselves. And anything that would hurt their brand, they don't care what they have to cover up. So they would not allow a vote to even come to the table. We had to have 4 Democrats to get to a 2/3 majority to give him criminal immunity. So when that failed by the fall of 14, the judge in the case went to the Justice Department himself, and Rick got immunity by Thanksgiving.
That's the insider?
Yep. Okay. And I'll tell you, you know, these things move in such...
Is this company, is Taversa still around?
Oh, yeah, they are. He's kicking like a vampire in the daylight right
he's
now.
He's probably listening to you as we speak.
Well, hello, I hope so.
So in 2 minutes or less, Michael, tell me what you think they tried to do to you and why. 2 minutes.
In the Federal Trade Commission, you mean?
Yeah. What the whole what was the scheme?
An example on me, because I was medicine and I was small and I'd buckle, and they were shocked that I would push back as hard as I did. And it's like this constant doubling down. The more they push back, the worse it gets for them. They just wanted me to roll over so they could use that example. They use these consent decrees to build common law so they can increase their jurisdiction. They wanted to get into cybersecurity regulation of medicine, and I was their stepping stone. And they wanted it badly. And this is their playbook, and they don't like it exposed, and they don't like me teaching other people the reality of what it is. They're a whole lot of bark.
Was there a plan to try to use you as an example?
That's right.
Where they said small businesses are vulnerable to cyber attacks, and therefore you must protect your patients, hence hire companies like Taversa.
That's right. And, you know, and they also fight for, this is an intergovernment battle. They want to do what Health and Human Services should be doing. They want to do what FCC should be doing. You've got all these agencies in a turf war with each other, and you're just stuck in the middle of this power grab. And it's insanity. Mm-hmm. And it really accelerated what's gone on. I mean, we are not done. This has been an amazing ride.
You're still in court?
Oh, you better believe it. They had me on trial. He came in and pled the 5th. That was a year ago. The trial went back. Then after we went back May the 5th, and he finally testified, and he lit the room up.
He being
who? Taversa has come after him with character assassination and as much fire as they can.
This is the insider?
Yep. They have come at him guns blazing, and it doesn't matter. It's not he said versus she said. I mean, the Justice Department doesn't give criminal immunity like candy, and Congress put out a report about a week and a half ago, and anyone can get the report on my website, by the way, and you can also download his testimony at thedevilinsidethebeltway.com. You can download. It's amazing stuff.
At this point, who do you think hacked into your computer and stole that?
Well, we know it was him. He said Taversa. He said under the testimony, I came in. I took it.
Mm-hmm.
I came in looking. And what they do is they come in, and oh, by the way, they know exactly what the IP addresses are, always did.
Of course. Of everything. Everything.
Of course. And they come through like it's a filing cabinet, and they're looking for high-value things where they can make money.
Are they doing this to individuals, too?
Oh, they're doing it to tons of companies. George, when the FTC was at that hearing in 07, contacted Tyversa, and they started a third-party shell company called the Privacy Institute so Tyversa could funnel files that were found to the FTC without anyone knowing it was Tyversa that was sending it to them. And this is all in open court testimony. And so they submitted 86 companies, I think it's 86, 88, something like that, to the FTC, and the FTC sent letters to all those companies. You can just Google FTC February 2010 peer-to-peer and see it. And they beat their chest like they're saving the world. The FTC's like, we've let 80-something companies know. Well, when you get a letter from the FTC, you can just start the legal meter going right off the bat.
I would guess so.
And all this stuff, as the judge said in the 11th Circuit, yelling at them, going, you didn't confirm evidence? This is unconscionable. They didn't confirm any of this stuff. And what happens was they go into your computer and they take it, but the testimony was they have a glossary of IP addresses that are known sex offenders, pedophiles, and identity thieves. And they lie in their database and put that IP address. So if anyone actually looked, they would see, well, this is a bad actor. Of course that's where it came from. It was stolen. If they ever went to that workstation, really, which they never did, they wouldn't find the file there.
Are they setting people up this way?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And this is who the Federal Trade Commission is sitting in bed with, and this is why now they're really trying to sit on that boiling pot lid.
See, I think, Michael, there's a bigger plan afoot here. I mean, maybe you were the experiment, but I don't think they just wanted to get a little lab company in Atlanta with 40 employees. There's got to be a bigger picture here.
Well, it's the bigger picture is that the FTC wants to rule cybersecurity, and the bully tactics are what they do. Because
Now, how do they make money doing this? Because that's what it all comes down to.
The judge was always saying to every witness, show me the money. Where's the money? Where's the money? Well, a lot of those companies ended up so the companies that got letters from the FTC, you know, they're not stubborn like me.
They just roll over.
They roll over. So none of this gets exposed. And they write the check. And some of them hired Tyversa.
How much would something like that cost?
It never ends, see, because you're in bed with a liar. So there's the opportunity cost of your reputation being shredded, again, in medicine. So that's everything. But he wanted $475 an hour, you know, and just the first thing was going to be $40,000.
Yeah, but how? Yeah, I was going to say about how. What's the total going to be?
Well, yeah, really, never ending. You know, you just don't, you know, you don't get in bed with a liar that says they love you, because they'll keep going and going and going, and there'll be no love, and you'll be sitting there.
And if you have how many companies you're doing this to, that's a lot of money.
Oh, a ton. Well, he did testify, some of the bigger companies had $1 million contracts with them. So you see how this, it's like this racket of the FTC getting companies that they get to go after. I mean, essentially, Tyversa was a lead generator for these overzealous investigators who are lawyers that have no real-world experience, that are drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, it's so bizarre. And, you know, one of the investigators used to work at the Washington Post, and then she became working at the FTC. So there's cronyism, there's links back and forth. On Tyversa's advisory board, you had Howard Schmidt, Obama's head of cybersecurity, on Tyversa's advisory board. You've got Wesley Clark. So you have this, you know, this crony face of credibility. And so you have access to all this stuff. And I just came in and shattered the glass because, you know, in medicine, we're dealing in helping people and science and reality.
So they really didn't care that the 9,000 names were taken. They wanted your pocketbook.
Right. And guess what? They knew darn well they weren't.
Michael, we're going to come back and wrap things up with you. A few more questions, and we'll open up the phone line. Well, next hour, Christopher DeChesrey joins us as we talk about an extreme haunting. Get ready for that. And we're going to come back with some final questions and your phone calls with Michael Dougherty talking about his disastrous cybersecurity episode. The Devil Inside the Beltway. And welcome back. Michael, will you ever get your company back?
No. The government likes to take you to the hospital after your funeral's done. And, when you stand up against the feds, people are afraid of you. It's interesting. It's been an interesting experience. It's a good thing I'm an entrepreneur, because I kind of look at this as a tsunami. And also that I've worked in healthcare. I've seen so many people be worse than me in health and have unfair things happen. This is definitely an unfair thing that happened to my employees, the patients, the doctors. But they're also afraid. I mean, when you stand up against these guys, a lot of people are afraid that they're going to be, connected with you. So they key people have moved around the country. Clients have moved on. And, I've only been considered really successful in nailing these guys only about the last month and a half or two, when finally we have the testimony, because it's so unbelievable. Until you have the fact of a congressional investigation, Daryl Issa just put his report out, The Justice Department gives immunity. I mean, what are the odds of really getting that? So I have this rare opportunity where I actually have fought through it, and now the boat's starting to turn. I am suing Tyversa and several parties involved in that for racketeering and theft and a lot of things going on there. We're nailing them. They're still suing me for defamation, which is laughable. I don't know how how the judge is going to say that, all of Congress and the Justice Department's crazy, but they keep punishing us through the legal process. But
I bet they wish they would have just left you alone.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that, George, is that my lawyer, who's known me for 20 years, and my family were like, when this happened in 08, she said, oh, my God, they have no idea who they've just screwed with. hey, they lost the lottery. I think this is a really important thing. And I think I was built for it. I just think, my whole life of coming from Detroit and the riots and having to move, and then who I was surrounded with through my father and mom and going to Ann Arbor. I mean, all how it all connected. It's a destiny.
What do you think? And we're going to take some calls here. They're lining up to talk with you, Michael, and the clock's ticking. But what do you think the bottom line goal is here? What is the FTC? What is government trying to do here?
Government is such an aimless, big bureaucracy. These guys are just trying to save the world, and in their limited little brains, they think this is okay, because we have people in power that don't have knowledge. You have a bunch of lawyers trying to run technology. The more time clicks, the bigger fools they're going to look like. Same thing when you have politicians trying to practice medicine. I mean, they're so powerful, and they're so full of themselves, and they're on this mission. They think so highly of themselves that they're trying to save the world. Well, they don't have knowledge of what they're doing, so it's a mess. And this is just a mess. And I feel, honestly, a responsibility to pull the mirror up to this, because we're all getting hurt by this. Our cybersecurity is not safe. Our medicine's not getting better. These people might have, I might give them big, well, obviously they'll cheat to win, but they seem to think it's a noble cause. I don't agree, but they're doing a terrible job, and we really have to stop it.
All right, let's go to the calls here. We'll pick it up by going to Keith in Rochester, New York, to get things going. Hi, Keith. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with us.
Yes, sir. Mr. Daugherty and his case remind me of what the feds did to Wilhelm Reich in the 50s.
Same thing.
Reich had his Orgoni machines, he claimed, were a cancer treatment. The feds had him hard, and he ended up dying in Lewisburg Federal Prison in 1957. I'm going to say evenly to the guests that not until Mr. Norrie asked you for a two-minute summation of your story were you able to really whittle it down for all of us outsiders. I honestly was listening to you, Mr. Daugherty, and I promise you I'll buy your book. I read a lot. I would just say that, and I'm not being rude when I phrase it this way, your story is so esoteric and even up in the air, it's somewhat hard to follow. And like with Wilhelm Reich, you're going to have to build allies by making all of us insiders. And the way you were telling your story was a bit hard to follow. I listened closely, but I would just say to you as a would-be friend to get your story as finite as possible. Many of us are amateurs at this, and we would like to back you, but until we really know you and your story, when Mr. Norrie asked you to really there at the end to to summarize, that's what you're going to have to do to get allies on your side who will understand what you're going through. Thank you.
I got a little friendly advice there, Michael.
Well, it's very true. It's what's been going out the media the past 2 years is that people that read the book get it crazy, and I've hired professionals to try to hone it quickly. And you have to have the third party, someone like you, giving the platform to people to pay attention. It has been a challenge for a ton of people just to get this because it's so outrageous. When you two put it in 2 minutes, no one believes it, and yet it's too esoteric. And It's getting there because I have all this other stuff.
It's a complicated story.
He's right.
Very complicated. And so do you think it continues?
Oh,
are companies squeezing other companies for whatever reason?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. So much of cybersecurity is based on fear. You know, and it's corporations that are really being, you know, where all the data is being pooled is these big corporations. And those corporations, are certainly don't want to invite this, and certainly there's some veterans, but they, you know, they're being how to buy insurance policies now and law firms that want to feed off this. And the fact that the government's so esoteric itself and so gray, it's just a grounds where you can just get fleeced because there's no black and white. They don't say what the rules are. The man stood up in court and told the judge there's no place for business to go to know what to do. That's what the FTC said to the judge.
Now what does the Justice Department want from you? I mean, this case is continuing in court. What do they want?
Well, the Justice Department is only involved for criminal immunity with Mr. Wallace and then, you know, how they're going to investigate Tyversa and the FTC, I don't know. I'm not privy to that. But
I mean, are they still probing you or are they probing?
No, they've never been probing me. No. I've never been in trouble with the Justice Department. They just were involved to give to assess whether criminal immunity should be awarded to Mr. Wallace.
He's the insider.
Correct.
Okay. Let's go to Jay in Irondale, Alabama now. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, and thank you.
There are
many who are listening who wonder what's going on. And I'm going to be short so we can have other people on. We have this thing called the straw man. If you go to YouTube and the straw man, you will see how it is. Legal form is a central form, and when legal form is not observed, the nullity of the act is inferred. And I give a kudos to your guest who's come on to talk about this because most of what they're doing is not legal or lawful.
Well, he's got guts to come on. You have stuck your neck in the noose there, Michael.
Yeah, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, you know, life's an adventure. In the book, I talk about my dad looking at me dead. When I finally told him what was going on, he looked at me and goes, is your hand the cookie jar? Is your hand the cookie jar? I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, you know what I'm talking about. I said, no, it's not. He goes, good. It takes an honest man to be able to beat these thugs.
Do they want patients' information?
They want anything that's of value. They want patient information. They want military information. They want bank information. Anything that's going to get the who's supposed to have that information or who's supposed to be protecting it to pay them.
Did you ever think that maybe in that file of 9,000 people, there was one person that they wanted information on? Just one. So they had to take the whole thing, obviously.
They wouldn't know enough to do it, but it's funny because, with the power of the FTC and the federal government, and as mad as they are at me, they have not been able to find one single victim, not one. And their own experts, which they spent $250,000 paying, said on the stand, we should have between 300 to 2,000 victims, and I can't explain why we don't have any. And the reason, it's plain as day, they don't have any. Because it was never loose.
But that file is confidential, right?
That's right. But it only was taken by Tyversa and in the possession of Tyversa and the Federal Trade Commission and Dartmouth. It's not out there. It never was.
We're going to your neck of the woods now in Atlanta, Georgia. Sam's with us, first-time caller. Sam, go ahead.
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
Good, Sam. Thank you.
George, I think you just might have hit some on the head. It's actually what I was going to call and ask your guest. As you stated, the committee itself, it sounds like Tribeca was feeding off of that ego, for one. So therefore, Tribeca had an ultimate purpose, and they really sound like a store to me, if you know what a store is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to generate their own funds to operate.
Yep.
And have you really, really looked at, I think you mentioned about 80-something other companies and files, 80 other companies. There has to be something that cross-references, and it may not necessarily be all of them in one. It could be three here, two there. But they were definitely compiling information on something or someone in particular, or groups of someone.
I'm beginning to think that, too. Michael, what about these other 86 companies? Is there a common denominator here?
Well, I actually am not allowed to say what they are, but...
Aha, we're on to something,
and,
aren't we?
And I'm trying to analyze that. There are some public companies. They're not publicly traded companies, but they're public. There's an AIDS clinic in Chicago that's public that got looked at. There's a car dealership in Florida. And I'm trying to look at common denominators. But we're not quite there yet. I will say it is cross industries. It's massive corporations are on that list, big dogs that we'd all know. It's interesting how the FTC just went shopping for victims of who they thought they would buckle. They went after me. They went after a Toyota dealership in South Georgia.
Same things, right?
It's they want to get too small to buckle. But we haven't gotten that far.
What could a Toyota dealership be hiding in a hacked computer?
Well, what happened, you know, they had a peer-to-peer network, and then they went in and took some data, and I believe in that instance, it was an employee's a home computer, just like the government has tons of. The government's one of the worst offenders of this. They had tons of stuff on employees' home computers because they had a work at home program, and you know there's Defense Department employees and patent and trade office employees have had things on home computers where their kids had software that was a vulnerability, and. But, you know, and that's fine. We, you know, this is 2008. We didn't know about that. The FTC didn't even put it on their website until 2009. So, you know, this isn't perfect. It's an ever-growing cloud. But the way they try to corner you is tough, and the way they go after the vulnerable is tough. And those companies rolled. You know, if you look at my congressional testimony, and if you look at the July 24th congressional testimony, and the whole long thing's on YouTube, I'll be able to watch the whole long 3 hours. But this gentleman from an AIDS clinic in Chicago came up, and what Daryl Issa says that Tyversa was involved in with that AIDS clinic is terrible. I mean, those patients, he alleges those patients were called by Tyversa, that a law firm was orchestrated for a class action lawsuit. I mean, there's retaliation against you if you don't play with them. And the retaliation went from the class action lawsuit with this AIDS clinic to my being turned over to the government. But, you know, if you don't fight back, these people get away with it, and they hurt others. Someone has to put their foot down.
Did you get much publicity down in Atlanta about all this?
No, it's been really bad. I think it might be starting to turn now, but, you know, your earlier caller was so right. It's been a constant struggle about how esoteric this is because we live in a Twitter world. And it's like I said, if Shakespeare were alive today, he'd kill himself because everyone would want Romeo and Juliet in a tweet. When they shorten it, take the guts out, which is why I love being on your show because we have the format to do it. And the fact that it's your show makes people listen more. And it's important to look on your own. Once people look, they're amazed. The readers of the book it's been incredible. I mean, it's a paper until you read it, but when you read it, it brings people alive so that, you know, even, Daryl Issa or congressional staffers or these people that have read it, I got called to Colorado to speak to this group because just people had read the book and want, it's not about my story per se. It's like, this is how these players that affect all of us work. This isn't come look at my nightmare. This is our nightmare, and I'm just holding a mirror up. This is the agencies that affect all of us, and I want to explain it to everybody that the powers they have, we don't know the powers they have, and I want to show them so we can change it.
Okay, let's take a few more calls here. We'll go to Terry in Burnsville, Minnesota now, east of the Rockies. Terry, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, George and Michael. Thank you for your fight. Sorry the government did this to you. It does take the small guy to be courageous. And I'll give you a quick story, some encouragement perhaps, and a question. My dad was forced to close down his business when an FTC bureaucrat buried him in constant regulatory BS. Customers from around the world had told him, your product is a miracle for us. And dad used that in the name of the product. When finally, after his long fight like yours with the FTC, he finally agreed to close down his business. And he finally asked this FTC jerk, you know, why did you do this? And basically this guy told my father, well, because there are no miracles. The good news, perhaps, is my son, who is an artist, the NSA tried to close part of his business down because he did a parody of them. When this happened, we discussed it, and I said, sue the guys. He did, and he won. And the story, if you want to know more about it, you can go to his site. It's, I don't know if you'd let me give that out.
I will. Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
LibertyManiacs.com, and that will show you the shirt. Basically, it was a picture of and he's an artist, so it's the picture of the NSA, and it basically the tagline is the NSA, the only part of government that's actually listening to you.
And
within an hour after that went up, the NSA sent a cease and desist letters, and he had to close it down, but we did fight it, and actually he won. So that's the encouragement I want
to give you,
Michael.
I think that reminds me, one of the things I will say is that we do have to all work together, and I failed to mention that one of the reasons I've had more blood in my veins is right when I got sued by the FTC, a nonprofit law firm in D.C. that does government oversight cause of action picked up the legal fees in this fight. And because what they did to your family is basically have such a looming presence that they bullied you before you could even get to court, because they drained you dry of your resources, and that's what they do. And by having cause of action support me, the drain me dry of my resources is off the table, and we get to a level playing field. And because we get to fight, look what we exposed. And that's a critical thing.
Well, it is. It is indeed. Let's see if we squeeze in one more call. Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Steve, only got about a minute, but go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. Hi, Michael. I'll tell you right now, I went through a similar set of circumstances about 12, 13 years ago, and I wouldn't mention the agencies. I wouldn't even mention my company name if you let me put it on the air right now, because you don't know who's listening. And it was multiple agencies under similar circumstances under which Michael was hit with these agencies, and that's all I'll say about that. But it cost me a small fortune, and he's right, the legal fees go on and on. And the short version is, instead of fighting it like he did, because I was curled up in a ball on the floor at one point, fearing I was going to be thrown into federal prison.
Yeah.
Someone suggested a Washington lobbyist to me, and this was under prior administrations, and maybe it was a little easier. And I did hire a Washington lobbyist. I paid him what he wanted, and he actually got the agencies off my back. And they would still come in, but it was toned down. And I have a good relationship with them now, and I don't want them to even know I'm on the air.
All right. Well, we won't even mention your name. Maybe that's not your name, but thank you. Name of the book, The Devil Inside the Beltway. Tells you a little bit about what could happen to the small business. Amazing. Up next, we're going to talk about an extreme haunting on Coast to Coast.